Blog Talk Radio.
We got to be. What if God was the hurt? Would I treat her the same? Would I still be running game on her? In what type of ways would I want her? Would I want her for a mind or a heavenly body? Could be out here bogus with someone so godly. If I was with her, would I still be wanting my ex? The lies, the greed, the weed, the sex. Wouldn't be ashamed to give a part of my check. Wearing a cross, I mean a heart on my neck. Her, I would reflect on the streets of the side. Ride with her, cause I know for me she died. Good and bad, call on her like I'm chirping her. Couldn't be jealous, cause that's a brother's worshiper. Walk this earth for her. Glory, I'm grateful to be in her presence. I try to stay faithful. Even if they don't try, some ladies test men, and this was a test that was bigger than him. Some believe it's the nature that is given to men. He had a good gig, a wife, a kid, a decent home. One reason or another couldn't find peace at home. She asked, why do men always have to stray? He said, I'm bad, not as bad as Eric Benet. I used to take them out to eat, but they wasn't really eating. Might have got a little hair, but I wasn't really cheating. It's hard when your lady don't believe what you say, and what you did in the past, you gotta live with today. She asked if they could spend a night together. He thought and said, I'm trying to get my life together. Went home to his lady, these were his confessions. Baby, you a blessing and my best friend.
Radio. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also known as Seek Wisdom. How y'all doing out there tonight? I see quite a few people in the chat room already. Shouts out to Noble Princess, Bird, Goddess Networks, Thunderbird, wow, a lot of guests in the chat room. Ebony Women of the Diaspora, which is Pastor Jeanette Flowers. So peace and blessings and honor to the sisters and the mothers tonight. Wow, tonight we have Delbert Blair on. We are going to be discussing occult mysteries, ancient womb-universal wisdom. So I'm going to check the lines and see if our guest is on the line. Before I do that, though, I want to mention our sponsors. You can go to our website, which is www.blackwombuniverse.webs.com. And if you look under our section for our sponsors or our links, you'll see our sponsors, the people that support help to bring Black Womaniverse Radio to you. And you also be able to link up with the guests that come on. We definitely have Dr. Delbert Blair's website on there, the Meta Center, and I'm sure he's going to get into the website and some of the services that he offers. Dr. Blair has a wealth of knowledge, but I know he would definitely get into that. Again, our sponsors are DivineChemistry.com, and chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. Another one of our sponsors is Mocha Mango, and that's Mocha, M-O-C-H-A, dash Mango, M-A-N-G-O.com. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get to our guest. Good evening, Dr. Blair. How are you?
Good evening, Tara. Seek Wisdom. I am doing well, and how are you?
I am great. I am great. I'm just so happy to have you on the air with us tonight.
Well, I'm happy to be on the air with you tonight. I'm glad that you invited me.
Definitely, definitely. We have a chat room full of people that want to listen to you and want to hear you, too. We will be taking calls toward probably the last 30 to 45 minutes of the show, but I'm going to go ahead and give the call-in number out anyway. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. Dr. Blair, for those who haven't heard of you, I can't imagine people that are into metaphysics and into history that haven't heard of Dr. Delbert Blair. But for those who haven't, can you give us just let us know who Dr. Blair is, what have you been doing, and give us some information about the Meta Center.
Well, I'm still seeking to understand and know Dr. Blair because he's forever tried to research. But for the little bit that I know of him, having been in his body for some time, I was a history teacher, a professor. I'm also an engineer, and I'm also a minister. I walked away from a church. I got fired from a job at CNA Corporation, which was a insurance company in which I was one of the only Black in the engineering there. So therefore, I had to be super bad and super better. So I had studied intermarine, marine. I went into grain elevators and silos, fuel gas, elevators, you name it. So it gave me a good idea of structure. And then, of course, I've had many psychic things to happen. At birth, I was pretty much spending as much time on the other side from which I came as I was here. And that stayed with me for a long time, as I've told. It seems like I've always said this before. It's like I'm being repetitive, but I used to sit in a high chair and see clouds in the room and people talking in the clouds, and I talked to them, and I found out that you're not supposed to see clouds in a room sitting in your high chair, and you don't talk to things that aren't there. And, of course, I was very psychic, as much probably a present as the other side as I was this side. And then what I found all through life, you get very pragmatic. You get into the very stoical things that say you can only touch it, feel it, hold it, or it doesn't exist. And my whole life has been just the contrary. Everything that I can't see, the unseen, and when people say you shouldn't, are the things that have guided my life, have changed my life, and forever endeavor to more or less progress my life to where it should be. So I'm presently the director of the Meta Center. We were founded in 71. Before that time, I was still studying voraciously as much metaphysics as I can. Many people remember, too, that was changed in 1960. It shows how far back I go. And I had a occurrence when a very young man to change my whole life, when I had two Black men who were at a UFO conference to actually read my mind, predict the future by 18 minutes, had me to lose time, and then had UFOs come over the place I lived. Well, when you go through that and you see Black men doing things that other men, white, Black, yellow, and brown, I had not seen do, and which they were not teaching me in school, then I said, well, there's something else that I need to be studying, no matter what they've said. I did this to try to make money and to be accepted, but more than that, I had to accept myself by understanding some of these mysteries, and I've been voraciously trying to understand and fathom some of these mysteries ever since. So, presently the director of the Meta Center, we research anything metaphysical, and I've researched many. I have 135 tapes. Had a radio show for one time, Metaphysics Speaks, and this is long before Coast to Coast and everything else. So I'm not new at it. I still find it wonderfully inviting and invigorating, and I love what I do. I'm blessed because my advocation and my vocation are now one. That's as best as they can estimate me.
All right, all right. Now, before we get into the wonderful, vast array of things we're going to discuss tonight, briefly, I want you to just briefly talk about the some of the dios that you have available on your website, because a lot of people, they need to know that they can go to this website and, you know, get items that we definitely need to have for this time frame that we're in right now. So if you could briefly just touch on what the diodes are and what they do for the body.
Well, I thank you for saying that. I think everybody should have what we have on our website, and I'm glad that you also complimentary say they should too. Diodes are just one of the things, and the diodes are 15 kinds, and diode simply means diode. It's one directional. For those of you who are into electronics and all, it is not a two-way rectifier. It is a stabilizer and capacitor, simply meaning that energy comes into our bodies from the left, exits from the right. And we therefore have an energy field. If you have a brain and blood circulation, you will have an energy field around you. So many things that happen to us each day, emitted especially from things that plug into the wall, and unfortunately now from things that come from satellites and towers, can be very detrimental. In fact, they alter the cells. We've got a lot of problems here with cancers. We even have uterine tumors and testosterone imbalance and progesterone in men because of the rays, it's many cases are coming from these things, and they don't tell you that. They attack some things, but not that. So the diodes rectify. They simply stop bad, low frequencies from harming you. And I have a tape out that says, elves, not elves, are killing you. People are worried about elves and trolls and gremlins and goblins and all the rest of the stuff. But these extra low frequency propagations are very harmful. They can cause cancer. They can cause tumors. They can cause cysts to deteriorate and what they call become free radicals. They can alter your brain chemistry. They can affect your optic thalamus nerve, your temporal membrane in the ear. They can do anything. And everybody's looking everywhere but where they should be at some of these low-frequency devices, which are hair dryers, TV sets, especially these digitally enhanced ones, microwave ovens, monitors that we use there, computers, towers, printers, scanners, driving in your car, riding in an airplane, getting x-ray units, mammograms, dental x-rays, all these things are actually causing ourselves to mutate potentially, causing ourselves to definitely mutate in some cases, and causing all kind of harm. So we have them. You can put your food on. And I got a call today. The person said that they didn't even name, but they said they'd be listening to your show tonight, so I'm glad that induced. But they were saying again about what I was saying again about some of the things that happen because of mutations and how can you avoid them. Well, the diodes, when put on a cell phone, stop the low-frequency vibration. The diodes, when put on the back of a computer, especially the monitor where you're looking constantly into that glass portion, they can stop that. The printer and scanners are also very bad. These digitally enhanced TV sets. I have no idea why you got to see things brighter than what they've been seen before. These things, each pixelation is a million. Let's put it this way. Every little section of that thing is emitting too much energy into your brain. It's horrible for the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is what secretes melanin, which affects everything that we do. It causes it to become calcified when exposed to enough of that. And then, as I say, when it just goes on and on. We also have one, as I say, you put your food on. It would take poisons and toxins and radiation out of the food. And to that person that called in and said they'd be listening, I didn't quite say on the show that she heard, at least I don't remember saying, that it was not that you put the nicotine of the cigarette into the coffee for the caffeine. No. When you put coffee grounds or you put cigarettes or tobacco of any kind on a diode plaque, it will remove the toxins, poisons, and those things from it. It simply means that anything that spins to the left, in most cases, is detrimental to the body because it frees up an electron. It changes that electron to go to a right spin, which makes it okay. So here's a way now, inexpensively, to stop bad habits, even some of those funny-looking cigarettes and those funny-looking other things that we use sometimes, some of us, not me, but whatever, it would change that too. And then we, of course, have a circuit breaker diode. You put that in your home and all the circuits leading from that breaker into your bedrooms and on every place else, it can change that. And then finally we have, well, got to mention this too, for those who have very, how can I put this, detrimental deterioration of the body in some form by disease, if you lie on a diode mattress and there's only one size, well, don't get confused when you go to our site because we have 40 different kind of magnetic ones, including 7 different kind of magnetic mattresses. This is the only diode mattress you have. What it can do and does do, it will take poisons and toxins out of your body. It will not send them to the lymph system. It will not send them to the fat cells. It will not send them to the liver or spleen. It will actually take them out of your body as you lie on it. To me, that is a wonder device within itself. And then last of all, there's a Diomed. It's shaped like a double helix pyramid, upside down pyramid with the right side up portion too. That will protect 60 yards around your home. Now let me add one little postscript here. It protects 60 yards around your home unless you happen to be near one of these 350-foot GWEM towers, which means, by the way, too, the acronym for that is Ground Wave Emergency Management. It's there to filter your brain, make you fall to your knees, eyes bulge out of your head, send up your blood pressure if you get out of hand. That's what those devices, when put just mid-range, can do. And, of course, it will not protect that, but for the usual towers around, it will help set up defense around your home. So that's just with the diodes, and I think since I've kind of exponated on that a little bit, I'll kind of slow down from that one. But we also have magnets, and we also have monatomic gold.
Okay, okay. Also, family, take a look at one of our other sponsors, too, website. Queen of Fama just popped in the chat room, and she is also one of the sponsors for the Black Wombiverse show. So check out efama.com. She makes handmade, authentic culture jewelry. I have a lot of her pieces, so, you know, check her out if you're looking for some jewelry. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to this occult mysteries. You know, the main reason why I wanted to get you on the show here, and I had a couple of my sisters kind of sort of prompt me and push me to get you on the show. I had been meaning to, you know, get you on for a while, but, between your schedule and mine and all of that, you know, but we finally have you here. But I'm looking at, wow, just so much information. I've listened to a lot of the other shows you've been on, and you touch on a lot of information, but a lot of times it's not a lot of information that that the sisters that are geared toward women. And so you have a lot of knowledge and a lot of information, so it's very, you know, important that we get to some of these questions here. Now, the first question that I have here is, what prompted you to do the Amazing Woman lecture?
How did I know you would not go there when you knew you would? Well, there's a lot of guys, I'll tell you, that's what amazed me. Well, let me just be very frank. My dad and mom split up, I guess when I was about 5 and a half or 6. My dad really didn't want me. And my mother was left with the burden of trying to raise a boy child at the time when that was not the best thing you could do. And many cases now, boy children are not being raised correctly simply because without a father figure and a matriarchal figure there too, they're usually biased in one way or the other, and it doesn't work out too well. So based on that, I was raised by a woman, and a woman happened to be my mother who loved me very much, I think tried to spoil me in one sense, but because of that, I got to know that feminine aspect. Another thing that's very interesting is my mother had a play sister. They grew up together, and she was a dancer, actress, and singer. So I got to go backstage as a little boy, see all the boas and all the stockings and all the girdles and all the rest of the stuff there. And, of course, they didn't realize, I guess, that I was still a boy and a male, you know. So I got exposed to all of that on the feminine side. She taught me to dance, so it let me get to go to travel places that normally the guys couldn't go because I looked a little bit older than I was and I could dance, so that got me to think. So I was around women a lot, let's put it like that. And I heard some of the complaints because they forgot I was there. About the menses, I heard about things about saggy this and this and that, and I listened. And I've always been pretty smart, and people underestimate me. That's something you should never do with me, but whatever, they did. And consequently, I began to take an interest on the feminine side because I was exposed for a long time to that. So when I finally came up with this one, and I did a lot of research on Jeremy Chervis, I worked with Professor Hilton Otima about the Great Red Dragon, and then I began to read as I got into Grecian history because I was trying to decry some of the things they said. But in decrying some of the things they said, I found out that they were much influenced by the Moors and very much inspired by the black people that were throughout Europe, and that a lot of the things that they did were a little bit different from other people. They actually adored the human figure. They more or less glamorized it, per se, and I said, why? So then as I began to get in all of that, I began to uncover some of these big secrets. And, of course, with me, I don't stop because it gets deep. In fact, the deeper it gets, the more I'm intrigued by it. And then I just found a lot of things, and I put it all out into a tape called The Amazing Womb Man Lecture. But people forget I also did the man lecture. I also did the child lecture. As I say, your child or your children are not kids. They're not honored to the god Baphomet. So all of these things dovetail together because in most cases, women want children. In most cases, men want women. And consequently, the children come with both. Then they want a boy versus a man so they can say their lineage and their name can go on. The women want a good child, again, whether it's boy or girl. And, of course, it's been said, mother spoils the children, all like this. So let me just get on to brass tacks. Having learned all of this, I said, I got to put this into some kind of a seminar to get these sexes together, because everybody wants one or the other. Now, of course, we're getting into heterosexual. Now we're getting into androgyny. We're getting now into a lot of homosexual, and the battle still goes on.
You're going too far, because now you're bringing up a whole bunch of other stuff I got questions on.
Well, let me just say this again. That's how I got into it. And I thought it needed to be characterized, and I had a long time. I had a workshop. It started off as one day. It wound up with a week, and it was a weekend in which I just approached every angle. And of course, that would take a year, but I tried to, giving 15-minute segments covering 45 subjects to just what separates men from women, just what makes people androgynous, what parthenogenesis is, what infantile fetal birth is, what fetus, that's how I got into it. And the guys, the only reason I guess they didn't crucify me because they respected me overall, and I said, well, look, I'm not trying to side with anybody. I'm doing like I do everything else. I want to know the truth. I want to try and understand this paradox that's on this planet, and this is what I made that tape out for.
Okay. All right. The first question I have is, what is androgyny?
Androgyny is said to be a lack of androgen, but androgyny, as it's now interpreted, is that it means like parthenogenesis. Well, let me not say one thing with another thing. It means dual things. It means two things, more than one thing on a plant stem or so. An androgynous person is one who has both sexes or acts like he or she or they or them or they or them. Androgyny now has gotten to more or less a homosexual type of a thing, but only because it's contained on one plant stem. It's all one thing. It's just where you have both sexes in one, in either in consciousness or physically.
Now, let's see. Why are more and more women, and I have a lot of sisters who brought this to my attention, and I too have this question and hold this question very dear to my heart because I've had some experiences that fall in line with this question. Why do you think, in your opinion, more and more women are questioning who they really are and are having more dreams of ancient lands and lives or older civilizations?
Well, in many cases, women who are aware and women who sometimes feel, if not persecuted, which is a harsh word, somewhat subjective to more masculine things or things that they think are not fair, plus just the idea, too, if they're intelligent, you know, to just question where sex came from and all this kind of thing, would generally go into that attitude. You had the suffragette type of thing. You've had white women getting freed. Black women say we're never free, and all these kind of things going on. It's just one of those natural things as you progress in consciousness that you would be interested in. The thing is, do you take it too far and become biased in one side or another, or are we big enough to approach it as an open section about what is sex on this planet in the first place? And when you look at it from that point of view, we wouldn't have enough time on this show to get into all the postulates as to why, but we can at least say that one thing is here, that women want to know. If you're looking at the history of woman, you then have to go, unfortunately, into races, because on our planet, race is primary coded everything we do. It's got race within it, just like sex is right behind race. And when you look at that, you find that you look at some of the ancient women that are in history again, that seemingly were very strong, and some of the ancient women were black. You had queens, of course, in antiquity, if you would. You had Makeda. You had who? You had Saba. You had Hatshepsut. You had Nanga. You had Tyre. You had Ditto. Nefertiti, Yumansa, Malawusel. You've had many of these. You've had all of these people then who queens became mothers. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But then they had black saviors. And there have been 13 black saviors, and yet only one religion does not have a black savior, and that's because that savior is false. And that gets into heavy theft, too. I haven't identified yet. I'm going primarily around the circle here. So it would be a natural thing for a woman to want to know, and especially when her story was taken away. But understand, his story was taken away, too, because his story does not appeal to what we would call the black race of people. And since there's no black race, we have to say highly miscegenated and very much melanated people. So I guess overall there, as I kind of skim the surface to see how deep we got to go with this one, is my answer for that.
Okay, now I'm going to go back to the previous question just to see if we can get a little bit of clarification so that the listeners can understand. What is the difference between an androgynous being and a hermaphrodite? Is there a difference? And if so, what is it?
A universal hermaphrodite would be one who would be more or less both sexes, but androgyny can also appeal to the plant kingdom. And we're getting now to talk about Dracons. Why do I want to go there? Okay, let's leave this. Wow, how do I deal with this? Parthenogenesis and androgyny simply would mean where you get more than one plant cluster androgynous. But when you get parthenogenesis, and so now you're talking about more or less about the male-female XY, you're talking more or less about humans more than you're talking about plants. An androgynous plant may also be, of course, what do they call it? Can't think of the word, I'm sure, where the, well, I can't think of the name there, but we can draw sunlight in again. But an androgynous person may not have a lot of plant tissue, but would still have the ability to do what it does, draw energy from the sun. So I would say one is more or less for plant and plant kingdom. The other can be a universal kingdom, whether it be plant or whether it be animal or mammal or whichever way it would be.
Okay, now, you just mentioned parthenogenesis. For those that do not have a clear understanding of what parthenogenesis is, can you explain what that is, and can you get into parthenogenesis in ancient women?
Well, let's go with the Parthenon, which is in Greece, and much misunderstood because it's not used for the reason that they think now. It was not an amphitheater for theatrical things. It was where parthenogenesis was practiced, and the belief in a universal androgen was there. It meant that they were for women who believed that they could conceive without sperm and egg, without the sperm cell, that they could conceive at certain times based on moonlight and sunlight. And again, the idea that a plant can take sunlight and through photosynthetic things can do it, that also is what some females could do. So when they were primed to do this, many of them would be sent to the Parthenon or sent to that area of Greece, which has a highly magnetic field, which I studied that too, and where the sunlight was around sometimes three-quarters of the day to be exposed to that. They said that they could conceive because of mitogenesis, and again, the cells begin to divide just because of rays of energy, which I still say is what happens because it is not the sperm cell that excites the ovum. It is one that, because of its electromagnetic field, can penetrate, can form a zygote from that union, and because of the energy it gives off. Everything in creation comes from energy, nothing else. The rest of them are carriers of energy, whether it be a sperm cell or a developed ovum, where it becomes a zygote that is now going to multiplicity within the uterine walls as a zygote or whatever. Everything comes from energy. Once we understand that, those things that excite energy and those things that can be blocked off energy or taken certain energies should be able to conceive or progenitate. You know, conception means to conceive mentally. Many people forget that. Conception means to conceive mentally. We mentally must always think of what we do, and nothing we can do physically does not come first from a thought. So this is what we must understand. Our thoughts lead to the seeds that produce. Our thoughts lead to the development of a fetal cell. But we don't understand that part. At one time they did, and so they sent these women, especially if they wanted to have virgin birth, which they thought were stronger, that they would go there and meditate, eat certain herbs, sunbathe, and then they would conceive. So that's the whole story around that, and that just opens up more questions, I know. But there's your answer for that one.
Do you think that women still have that capability today?
Yes, and unfortunately it's bad now. It's bad because that's where a lot of fibroid cysts are. That's where definitely dermoid cysts are, nothing but fetal developments outside of the uterus and what they call the mesosuffix. And it is something now that can still be stimulated because now we have all these daggone electronic things. Well, I don't know why people think that these towers up here are not doing any daggone thing to you. These things are messing with everybody, especially women because of the soft tissue there that's there and because of the estrogen level that they can get or not get. And these things are causing all kind of problems. In addition to that, you have these genetically modified everythings. You know, you go to a restaurant now, you don't get food. People at Thanksgiving and soon this Christmas, which will be here, will eat and then they got to go sleep somewhere because there was no energy in the food. They didn't eat food. The food ate them. And you have now genetically modified soybeans and walnuts and potatoes and cantaloupes and cucumbers and apples and squash. You got everything genetically modified. And these things now are leading to genetically modified babies and genetically modified women and genetically modified men because you are what you eat, drink, and think. That's what they call GMO thing. All of these things play a basic part. So we're now a product of, we're now all messed up, really. And we have cancer cells in cause of all of us, and if those are proliferated because of all these acids and pH factors below things, where they develop. We all have the ability to be good or bad, to be healthy or not. It's just a matter of which button do we push, what foods do we eat, what do we think, and what do we drink.
Okay. All right. The next question comes up in reference to, there's a question in the chat room about chromosomes. Does the XX chromosome predate the XY chromosome? And if so, by how many years?
Wow. Now here we get that. That's the same thing we used to talk about. That would be debated from now on. I mean, I don't even want to take sides with that one. That's when we go back to the basic genetics, the X chromosome, the Y chromosome, like this again. Let me say one to really throw a monkey. I love doing this. Forget X and Y. What about A and B? What about the origin of chakras? What about the origin of energy cells itself? What about the people who came here who had no bodies at all? X's and Y's develop from A's and B's. We have to understand we are not physical at all. All these things are developed based on acidity, based on planetary fields, based on moon and sun and everything else on Earth. I'm not even going to get into that part of genetics.
Okay.
To me, we're outgoing that.
Okay. All right. Now, the next question here is, was there a time when nature fought against, and this is a question based off of the woman lecture, there's a question here in the chat room, was there a time when nature fought against males coming? And I guess that's a comment you made in the woman lecture, and they're asking what did you mean by that when you made that statement?
Well, according to metaphysical teachings, and obviously this is strictly metaphysical teachings. Some of the various books I've read, over 800 books, and have in my library thousands, about two of them I never read, but I try to skim through most of them again. There was a time when there were no men on the planet. There was a time when there were no women on the planet. This planet is a developing zoo. This place, everything gets dropped off, including, unfortunately, the laggards. And that comes across with the, well, how do you even begin to tie this in? Supposedly, when the planet was first made, there were no creatures on this planet at all. And there were those who came from the four corners of the cosmos to come together, bring 90 degrees of understanding to create 360 degrees to teach these souls how to make a planet. These souls had nobody. They were simply lights and energy. But they came together and understood universal mind and began to form a planet. It is said that our planet produced a sun, and they were supposed to do this and get away before, because they came for worlds without light, worlds without sun. They made their own light. You know, people say, look for the light at the end of the tunnel. I say, if you go into the tunnel, bring your light. Well, these were light bringers, and they were to make a planet. But before they could get away from making a planet, this solar system produced a sun. This is why it's solar. And this sun, they knew, meant death for them because there are worlds without suns. And those who live for a long time and those who can bring their own light go to planets. That's why they tell you it's nothing new under a sun. So when you get that, then there's a whole story of what happened when they abandoned some of them, called the abandoned ones or the abandoned Deros, which lived inside the earth, and then how they began to progenate, and that they were sent almost in the story of Superman from the far reaches of space. They were sent a zygote. They were sent a creature with a vial of melanin, and this was the secret there. And this was the first black person on Earth. And then this person was also androgynous. It had no particular sex thing, but was to rule the inner Earth, the Earth, and the extra Earth. And since Earth is called terrestrial, it meant interterrestrial, terrestrial, and extraterrestrial. We now don't even understand that. That's much different between that and an alien as a mind and body. So I simply state, from that, then we begin to develop species, and it's said that from the Merkahaba came a group of women. The women were coming here because they needed to have a more female species in order to carry out the will of the gods who wanted to mine for gold, found out that the creatures that were beginning to bear here were not strong enough, and they needed one to be able to carry a seed, so they brought from another planet the female species, brought from another planet the male species, crossed them over to dig for gold, and have been digging ever since. Then you've had drop-offs here, you've had everything else here. This planet is at least four or five billion years old. We've had everything here. We're still getting cross species and genetic modifications, and we're getting hybrids everywhere, and it's never stopped.
Okay, so let me back up for a moment. You said the ancients were from another planet or from another star system, so to speak. Could you kind of sort of dig into that a little bit deeper? In terms of that?
Not really. Without going to a lot of other explanation, there had no bodies. Bodies are things you need on a planet that has gravity and a planet under a sun. There are planets, you know, they're now discovering what? Dark worlds, black matter. Pardon?
It's like a car.
Like a car. Well, they're now discovering, what do you want to call it? They have dark matter. They got black holes. They're finding that light comes from dark matter. These were people who didn't, or these were intelligences, that's a better word, intelligences that didn't have a body. They were free to roam the universe. They used by way of the Merkahaba, which is the mer, means the vehicle or wave, Khan Ba is the spirit and soul. They were traveling in Merkahabas. They came to find out how it was to begin to create. And to create, of course, had nothing to do with the sperm and egg at that time. It meant create by mind. And so they were using their minds to find out how the universal creator had created them. It's then when you get under a sun that things get rough, because that's why they tell you it's nothing new under a sun. It's only repetition under a sun. You can only go so far under a sun. Then when you incubate past that, you can go to darker worlds and form your own suns. So this is how it all started out in that basis, and that is a that is a study within itself, and not necessarily believable. I believe it, but doesn't mean that everybody else has to at all.
Okay, so where did these women come from who were initially brought here?
Where did the women? Where did this female species come from?
Right,
better than that?
Some
of them were some of them took the eggs from women who were in other solar systems. I mean, it's a big deal about that. Some say that they came from, what's this name of this? It starts with a P. I can't think of it right now again.
Pleiades?
No, not the Pleiades.
Okay.
It's a different one. Anyway, it'll come back if I release it. And then some say that the men were bought from another planet, that they came as red-haired, whatever you want to call it again. So it's a lot of things have been dropped off here. But the first supposedly created androgen person was called Seth. And that's the one that they sent here with the vial of melanin, which was supposed to be introduced into the incubus stage. And this is where this was the first black man, which it wasn't black man, it wasn't black woman. It was an androgen creature who was turned dark so that he or she could live inside the earth, on the earth, and outside the earth, and also was be able to liberate the soul, which is called astral projection. So the first creature here was neither. Later on, to reproduce as these so-called gods, or elves, if they want to call them, or what they really call Zamzuman and Anunnaki and so on and so forth, they wanted then to develop their own species to mine gold for their planet and to reproduce here. So you might as well say they put a prototype here that was originally in its own stead. They bought whatever they wanted to, made whatever they want to, and still think it's possible, because that's why they're still abducting people and still giving people shots and everything else. They never stop.
So what happened if when we initially came here, the first beings that were here, if they did not have a body, what happened to slow the vibration down to manifest a body?
The sun. That's why under the sun you have to have a body. The sun will make you produce. This is why they always made that statement. There's nothing new under the sun. This is what the ancients were afraid of. They would not be able to send their minds into rocks and trees and water and everything else. They now would have to become physical and have to produce a body because of the sunlight. And this was a horrible thing that they were afraid of, because they wanted to be free to roam. They didn't want a body. They wanted to project their bodies and their consciousness into anything, anywhere, and become that. That's what they talk about, spirit in the wood, spirit in the stone, spirit in the water. Water still contain water, spirits. So does wood, so do trees, because the spirit of consciousness is the universal prime creators. It's when you get physical with those kind of things that you now have to be solid. You now have to have a gravitational field. You now have to have an endo and exoskeleton. You now are earthbound. You now are bound to a planet under a sun. And that was called terrestris. That's why we are terrestrial.
Okay, now, in listening to some of the information you're giving us, the thing that sticks out to me the most is this gold. Gold was very important, and obviously is still important. What is the importance of the gold? Why were these other beings coming to this planet to mine gold?
Because gold helps to raise your vibrations up to almost like pure sun. That's why they say the gold of the sun and so on like this again. Gold enables you to vibrate very high, to hold, even though it is a, shall we say, a substance, but to hold in higher vibrations. When you have gold in your blood now, most bacteria can't live in you. In fact, we sell, we'll be selling it much longer, though that's another thing, but we presently sell monatomic gold. Mono means one. Most, whether they're into pharmacology or whether into nutraceuticals or whatever, again, they most agree that the lower the thing, the more absorbable. This is why they say liquids or colloids. But lower than colloid or colloidal is ionic. And lower than ionic, or I shouldn't even say lower, smaller than ionic, is monatomic. It means it's just one little molecule that stops it from non-existing. So when you get gold in that kind of resonance, it helps to raise the blood system, the blood energy, to 121 megahertz. I didn't say blood pressure. The blood energy to 121 megahertz. Most bacteria can get over 100. So if you could stay there, not only could you your immune system be almost impenetrable, but you'd be able to astral project, because your blood would be so very high in vibration. Your whole DNA and RNA, your ribonucleic acid and dinucleic acid, would be propagating at such a high rate that you could produce babies and children if you wanted to that were very high in development. Gold is your answer to high frequency. Anything less in the table of elements becomes low frequency. And so what you want is the highest frequency you can on the smallest thing that you can. That's why they're now finding out that the minerals now are really all we need. And in fact, that's another thing, too. We are now I'm all over the place on this one. We now have something called Q-Hydrate 528. I think one of the first people to actually have that around. And that will produce 86 different minerals, all monatomic. The only one it doesn't have in is gold, and of course we're specialists in gold, so you can even add that to it. You find that will take away a lot of female problems also, too, since you have, I don't say a largely female audience, but people are going through an estrogen problem, and they're beginning to get into, what do you want to call it, the menses or like
right,
this.
Right.
Start taking that in and watch how fast that goes away. That's something new. Most people don't even know about it, but the thing is, again, that when you have gold, you're vibrating very high. When you have minerals that vibrate very high, that means your whole system now is really getting food. What we eat as food is simply just fiber and genetically multiplied stuff, and if we put it on a diet, at least it won't kill us, but we're not getting any substance.
You're
when you get minerals,
what you really need. Okay.
Yeah, but when you get minerals, now you can really get food. That way you don't get hungry. Your cells begin to stay stable, and they don't become cancerous and all, because they're now getting what they need, the energy. Minerals produce electrons. Electrons produce energy as they go through the body.
All right. Okay. Now, what is it? What is your view on the significance of Lilith and Hecate and how they connect to the underworld or the hollow earth or the inner world? Could you enlighten us on that?
Now you're talking about Hecate and Lilith. Now you're talking about a branch of Judaism. You're talking about a branch now of religious concepts and belief. I don't say any of those had to be. I give you the story that there were produced inside by what they call the Dracon takeovers, certain cross species of people, and some of which were in female consciousness, and that they are the ones that then supposedly still lived or did live within the inner world, never touching the surface, but living deep within the bowels of earth on what they call the seven thrones of gold. They supposedly lived in seven cities, but beneath that, it just gets so deep. This just gets into supposed to be some females or those that had more femininity than they did masculinity that lived inside the earth, that were able to travel also supposedly out of the earth and were in female positions. So, of course, they refer to them with names, and there are many stories about it. Some say that they were fabulized, that they never existed. Others say that they did. But I believe that they did, and I think Hecate and Lilith, or again of what they call the altered Eve. They are the ones that had hybrids. That some of them had reptile genes within them. Some of them were the gods to the reptilians, which, of course, the highest sort is the flying albino reptile, which is also androgynous. So, as I say, it gets into very deep waters. That would take a whole show within itself.
All right. The next question is the pineal gland, and this is a question from the chat room, is the pineal gland different in men and women? And is melanin, and I guess this is my question in addition to that, is melanin inside the body any different between the sexes?
It depends on the point of conception. The pineal gland, when it's functioning correctly, produces melanin. There are at least 8 grades of melanin. And the darker you are, the deeper and denser the form of melanin, which means that you can then take in more sunlight, or what they call ultraviolet light, which can alter things. You can even be exposed to the infrared spectrum, which is very bad, and still not mutate again, possibly. Once you get calcification of the pineal gland, you get a destruction of melanin, and with enough, you can get vitiligo if you destroy it enough. What is so beautiful about the pineal gland? It's up in the hypothalamus along with the pituitary gland. We're mistaught, by allopathic medicine, and so as far as I'm concerned, by believing that the pituitary gland is a master gland. And I always raise, if the pituitary gland is a master gland, why is it when the pineal gland calcifies, the pituitary gland goes crazy and you get cancers and everything else again? It is the pineal gland, which is, and especially that that produces melanin, and the denser your melanin, the more psychic you are. When that happens, it gives orders to the pituitary gland to secrete and produce the hormones, which do, of course, the organs and glands then secrete, and this is why things stay in balance. But you let the pineal gland get out of whack, everything goes out of whack. Yes, it is different in men and women, only to the degree that the progenitors of the child now in the uterus is the female, and because of that, the female has 3 lobes to the thyroid gland, which they don't tell her. This is why the need for iodine is there. Also has some other glands that they don't tell you about, too. And the vestigial portions of that require melanin to produce. And that is what is called, and we start a whole new ball game now, the opoferoon and the paroferoon. And most people don't even realize what that means.
Okay. Earlier, there was a question in the chat room about Earth nature versus universal nature.
What was the question? You mean what is the difference between?
I think that is.
Well, Earth obviously is a reference to a terrestrial. Terrestris is the name for the planet. She's had many names. Yaceros, Terrestris, you name it again, Sean. But Earth nature, if we're talking now about Earth bond or Earth bound, then you're talking about Terrestris and the ability to stay on a planet that is physical. If we're talking about astral or heavenly or universal, we're talking about nothing bound to a planet under a sun or out of a sun. We're talking about a free soul. And in fact, that's what astrology was actually based on. And I know now astrologers don't like me to see that. I had a book out called The Trampling of the 12 Challenges to Astrology. We don't even understand astrology here. And we definitely don't understand it. The natal astrology is starting the Western world. This is all off base. But nevertheless, it simply means that a free soul is free to go to the stars. They're not bound to any planet. They go to a planet for life experience or death experience, for experience of consciousness, and then they go on to become free souls. We should not be bound to any planet. We should be free to the soul to travel back to the universal creator, but because of our inquisitiveness and these messy Dracons and what they've done, we sometimes forget that. We're coming back to that now. This is why you see so many changes happening on our planet, and maybe later on in the show we can get into some of that too, because our Earth is going through many changes now.
Right. Now, what is the difference between, because I've heard you speak about this before as well, what is the difference between mankind, and human?
Man is descended from God. Human is animal man, not Hue, H-U-E, as I know many of the brothers and sisters love to say, it's the Hue we got. That's not the Hue they're talking about. They're talking about Hubris, the animal god, one of those serpents that begin to create everything he could by genetically mixing what he found here with everything else from any other planet he could find, the Hubris, but they call it human. Mankind would be synthetic person. That could be an android, a clone, and in fact, the seventh clone is a blank. And you have many people that are cloned now. We don't understand that. But these movies that are coming out are beginning to reveal everything, especially these comedies and stuff for children. They're really telling you like it is. But those are different species. Man descends from God. Human is a cross with the DNA from every kind of animal you can think of. They're still doing that at Dulce and Arkalica Mesa and at Plum Island. They're still experimenting with these kind of daggone things. But again, there's a whole different thing. One is a species descended from the creator, potential. One is man-made, or some people say a kind of man, and the other is actually a clone, a duplicate.
Okay. All right. Now, in reference, I'm going to go back to the woman lecture briefly. In reference to that lecture in particular, if women ruled and were more populated on the earth than men, what happened, in your opinion, to change it, and why are women in the state they are in now?
Well, women are in the state they're in now because of religion, mainly. And most women flock to trying to find a creator instead of going within to the creator within them, trying to find a man or some religion to teach them to find a creator. Well, the creator is within them. They are creatrices. But unfortunately, they did this. That's the church there. That's where you got to get into these. Let me just tell you, guys don't like this, but I try to tell the truth no matter where
show.
It lies, okay?
To speak your mind, because this is a show that is geared toward women and us getting back into our ancient knowledge. And, yes, we do have men that listen, but it's men who understand what we're trying to get here and the information we're trying to get. So feel free to completely speak your mind and don't hold anything back. Seriously.
As long as it's pro-women, huh?
Well, it doesn't matter as long as it's truth,
True. Believe me, it doesn't matter who it is. I'm going to speak my mind. No woman or man is going to stop me from doing that. Not as long as I have a mind and a brain. No, I was being kind of facetious with that one again. How can I get back with this one again? I kind of lost my train of thought on this one. Repeat your question to me, because I want to make sure I answer it specifically, not what my mind is rambling through right now.
During your woman lecture, you mentioned there was a point where women ruled and the male population was low.
Yeah, I got it now. That's the church. The church wanted, there were more, that women were living, men were dying, men were very feeble and weak, and they got this whole thing that they took a rib from Adam's rib and gave it to him from Adam's side, gave it to him for a bride, all this stuff. That is a male masculine church that wanted to have the women to come there because they knew that the women bore the babies, and if they could get enough women that's subservient and stuff, then the church would grow. It's just about that simple. And in fact, at one time, most of the women were in the church, most of the men were after the women, and this is how they got the men into the church. They've always done that. And consequently, they had to make this whole thing about men ruled. At one time, of course, there were no men on the planet. As I say, the original people had no sex at all. This is churchdom. This is the kind of thing that they need to captivate and hold consciousnesses astray from what they should be. That's about the best I can say without going very, very deep into it. They had to make this a patriarchal rather than a matriarchal society in order to subjugate and rule women. At one time, there were more women than men because the men could not survive and the women were.
Okay. All right. Now, previously, I've had a sister on by the name of Nubia Wardford. She is a black anthropologist, and she is going to Sudan later this month, to start excavations in Merowe. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because when you look at some of the temples in Merowe and Nubia and in that area versus some of the temples that are in Kemet or Egypt, as some may call it, there's a difference in how those temples were designed and whom the temples were dedicated to. For example, Dendera, you had a big that temple. Everywhere you look, you can clearly see that temple was dedicated toward a matrifocal or matriarchal society and was dedicated toward the women within that society. Can you touch on the differences between that particular area versus the upper Egypt and things of that nature?
Well, first of all, let me say that Nubia Wardford, who taught at the museum in Detroit, brought me into Detroit about five times. I know her well. Okay.
Great.
And we spoke over there at the Kwaba Center, which they've now closed up, unfortunately, and we've had long discussions. So it have been very close to Nubia. So I simply say it again. I hope she is making it. I know it's been her desire for the longest. Now, as far as the temples there on the Nile, each temple on the Nile represents a chakra. And I took on a big Caucasian anthropologist at one time on coast to coast, didn't know who he was, but I know he was telling a lie, at least to me it was not the truth, and we kind of had that out. Everything there along in that area represents the risen soul or the captured soul. It represents the chakras. It represents the pyramid by which the chakras could be released and people could travel by going into the pyramid. It was never used as a tomb. All of these simply show personifications of gods or goddesses, the beings electric or positive, it means magnetic or electric. They put their names and made it species specific, being male and female. There were none. It simply meant they had a lot of magnetism or they had a lot of electricity. Certain temples formed at certain parts of our galaxy, so these various constellations, could emit certain energies. The whole point was to be well-balanced and have each of the chakras developed so that the higher chakras not contained in the body could be attained, and you could astral project, you could astral travel,
right.
You could travel through the Merkahaba, raising the Ka and the Ba of Allah. And in fact, if you understand that the last people to do that were the Martians, who are really Olmecs, and of course, if you go to that area of Cairo and you pronounce it correctly, because C's all mean Greek, they had no K's, they didn't have Greeks before that time. Kahir means Mars, and it was a Martian settlement, and the pyramid is the same thing they have on Mars. And it's also the picture face on Mars is of a black woman with dreads, and they already know this too. So much is known, it's just so much is not revealed, and the more they keep us dumb and people dumb, the more they can start wars, have us fight amongst ourselves instead of trying to attain freedom and consciousness on this planet.
Right. Now, this is another thing that you mentioned in your woman lecture. What is, and this is going to be a touchy subject for some people, but I'm going to ask it because we need to know. What is indigenous homosexuality?
Well, you're putting me through the third tonight, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth degree, aren't you? My God. Okay, indigenous homosexuality can be more or less if you get your imbalance in the mitochondria. We are not, well, within the cell is, of course, your dinucleic acid and your ribonucleic acid. You have the cell, which is has a membrane around it. That's what they call a memory brain. The cell remembers what it's supposed to be as long as the cell's nucleus and governor is cool. When you have imbalance in the dinucleic acid or the ribonucleic acid, you have a potential imbalance in what that cell is, and you have, therefore, a potential imbalance in what that cell replicating itself as it should. So you more or less can say that the indigenous homosexuality is when in the first trimester, or some, in many cases, the first trimester, in some cases, even at conception, when there's an imbalance within the male and female impartations, if you would, to make the zygote, one gets overdone, we get too electrical, you get too much of an RNA, you get too much of this and that, and it, when it develops in the brain, it is not specifically, you might have a sex organ developing on a consciousness that does not want to express itself as a sexual person, especially a male who maybe wants to be a female or a female that wants to be a male. Also, the kind of drugs that we're exposed to, the kind of things that are imparted into the blood at the time when this cell is developing. All original zygotes are female. I repeat that. All original zygotes are female. They must change hormonally to become a male. And in many cases, even though they may change harmonically, they may not change again in the consciousness of what they would call in the brain cells. So although you have one thing produced on the physical body, you have another thing in the mind. And in many cases, here we go again, it is because of past life regressions or past life expressions or past life inhibitions by which, in case they did not fulfill what they wanted to, and then came for another. As I say, that gets into a whole other thing in incarnation, in mating.
And karmic, right.
Oh, but these are things you just cannot talk about in 1 hour and get to any kind of conclusion that's relatively intelligent.
See, Dr. Blair, we're going to have to bring you to Virginia.
Well, I don't know. Somebody said they were going to bring me somewhere there in Atlanta, and they never did it. And they were supposed to talk down there. They said, but none of the women wanted to hear me. So I guess if the women don't want to hear me, I'll continue to talk to the men. But anyway, I heard that. Let me stop.
I'm in Virginia. I'm not in Atlanta.
Heard that?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, there's a question in the chat room about a movie with women in the moon.
What about the movie with women in the moon? Yes, I have such a movie. Yes, and I do show
it.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess they want you to expound on that or talk about that or something?
No, they got to come out to some of my lectures and stuff for that one. There is a movie that supposedly has a black woman on the moon, 1.5 billion years old, in a spaceship. Now, that's all I'm going to say about it. We do have the movie. It's controversial. They can view it and steal for themselves. That's part of a lecture that I give.
Right. Now, I have a question about the moon, and this, everybody's probably going to think I'm crazy, but you know, it is what it is. When we see the dark side of the moon, what is that?
You don't see the dark side of the moon unless you're in a spacecraft or unless you're getting reports from somebody who's able to travel to the dark side of the moon. The moon is not a real body. The moon is an artificial body that was driven in place here. And it does not revolve as a satellite. It stays in orbit showing only one side because it doesn't rotate. This is how you know it's a false thing. Most moons are false things. Phobos and Deimos of Mars are false things. One goes in grade, one goes in retrograde. So it never spins, so therefore it's always showing one face because it's in orbit but not in rotation. That lets you know something was wrong there. And as far as it having come from the Earth, that's foolishness because they have stated, if you can believe anything they state, that the moon rock dates to 5.5 billion years, Earth rock breaks for 4.5.6 million years, and therefore it could not have come from the Earth. The ancient ones tell when it was a time when we had no moon, the chaos that happened once the moon was driven in and these reptiles came in, and it was the Olmecs that stood against them. That's another long story.
Was there also a time, because I know you just mentioned that the ancients tell of a time when we had no moon, was there also a time when the Earth was not tilted on the axis it was tilted in and didn't produce the seasons we see now?
Seasons are, oh boy. You see, every time you ask a question here, you're getting me into deeper metaphysics. I don't believe the Earth has an orbit. I don't believe it's in orbit. Now you say, okay, now he finally blew it. No. I get into truth. I seek for truth. We supposedly are in a vortex, and multiple vortexes are vortexia, and that the sun has a vortex field, the earth has a vortex field, the moon doesn't have it because it's in the earth vortex, and the earth is in the sun's vortex. We spin like a feather in a drain spout. We spin around because not of our own volition. This is why these people who want electricity and don't want to use magnetic power and understand gravity, this is why those creatures who can defy gravity understand the real source. We have energy all around us. We are in a vortex. We are not the vortex. This is why electricity is stupid, magnetism is stupid. Everything we've got around it is free energy. That's what's called orgone energy. That's why they kill the people that produce machines that can use that energy. Creator did not make a planet devoid of energy. So all of these things about rotation and all this does not deal with vortex or vertexia. That's another whole story.
Okay, there's a question in the chat room about when is your next lecture, and what is the name of the lecture that you reference the Woman on the Moon so they can buy it from you if you offer it on DVD or what have you?
Most of the lectures I do now, I do not tape unless I'm speaking for a group someplace here. We cover such subjects here at the center that I really don't want it out. I want those who are wise enough, smart enough, or spend money enough, or think whatever they want to come here and not be afraid of having their words now going out to the public. I had that done to me before. I say a lot of things in private at our own institution that I don't say in public. I don't teach everything I know, and for various reasons. You know, I've been poisoned and all, too. So there's a lot of things. So I would simply say my next lecture here in Chicago at the center is this coming Saturday, and I'm calling it now looking at the, what do they call it again? It's looking at all these amazing things that are happening everywhere and trying to fathom them. This planet is going crazy. It's not the planet crazy, though. It's the people on it. So I'm looking at all the amazing things that are happening all around, from the blue ray that came when your president was receiving the Nobel Peace Prize to the quakes and stuff and sea serpents that are being seen. We're going to cover all of these things leading up to my January 7th lecture again, which is the predictions for 2010. So we're going to cover all of that and always have a movie to back it up. And believe me, the movie is very exciting.
All right, all right. Well, we are going to go to the phone lines because we have a lot of people on the lines who Dr. Blair, do you need to take a brief break before we go to the phone lines?
Or I'd like to briefly get just a little bit of water. It wouldn't take me
okay.
But about a couple of minutes. And
like
I also would like to give my landline and website, if I may.
I put the website in the chat room, but we can make sure it's on the radio. Yeah, I put it in the chat room a few times.
Well, let me go get a drink.
You want to go ahead and give your website information out, and then we can go on break?
Okay. It's www.the. Don't go any Blair beard. Somebody in the chat room before, I have a lot of friends out here telling people where to go for me. I know what my website is. It's themetacenter.com, www.themetacenter.com. Forget the Blair beards. That's somebody who wants you to buy from them. That's not my, that's my son's thing. It's got a whole different ballgame. Now, the landline is 708-422-6685, 708-422-6685. And up there we have all kind of holistic products. We've got brain boosters. We've got mineral enhancers. We've got sex enhancers, magnetic penis ring. We've got, you name it up there, we've got it. It's quite a sight. But I will say this, for those who are interested in the monatomic gold, that will no longer be available after the 31st of this month because of the government sanctions against the company to make it. It's just hard for them to make it like they did, and rather than to put out things that are not good, they're going to quit. So that's the only thing that you're going to get. You better hurry up and get it now. Other than that, that's about it. And, sister, if I may, I want to get me some water, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes if you'll have me.
All right, sure thing. All right, we're going to go ahead and go on break. Everybody, you know, hang tight in the chat room and hold on the line, and Dr. Blair will be right back.
So tell me, Claire, what you want to do when you know I'm in love with you. Every time that I turn around, love for you, but you can't define. Fly me, baby, fly with me. I'm in love with a bumblebee. Ooh, slim boy, you trying to get me an interview. Look for you all over town, but you ain't made a run around. Fly me, baby, fine with me. I need to know, is you feeling me? Oh, can you take your picture?
All right, welcome back to the Black Womaniverse. I see everyone's in the chat room jamming off of Honey by Erykah Badu. I'm glad y'all like the music. Dr. Blair, are you still with us?
I am still with you, and hopefully your audience.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to the switchboard and take some phone calls. The switchboard is lit up, so everyone press 1 if you have a question. We're going to go to the first caller on line 1, area code 770. Could you let us know who you are and what your question is?
Yes, my name is Point, and my question is...
Sister, we cannot hear you. You are very low.
Queen, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, like a couple weeks ago, I had noticed it a few months ago, but the sun at a certain point of the day or whatever, when clouds go past it, it looks like a full moon. And, like, it's not projecting any brightness. It just goes like you can just see it's like a big white ball of energy.
Okay, you want me to comment on what you said?
And also, let me add a little bit to it. And after it starts getting a little bit brighter, I continue to look at it, and it looks like it's just vibrating, like, really, really fast, almost wobbling. And after a few more seconds, it's like a red, like a violet aura around it, and each time it vibrates, it gets bigger and bigger. Could you kind of, like, I mean...
You want me to comment on what you said?
Yes, please.
All right. First of all, the longer you look at it, the iris dilates, and consequently you begin to see more and more of the field around the sun. They have chemtrails up there, and they've been having chemtrails up there now for 19 and one-half years. Our whole planet now is surrounded with a cloud layer that has titanium, barium, aluminum, and all kind of other things in it, not natural at all. They can be poisoned in it. They can put anything they want to in it. It is now a planet. This is what they talk about, global warming, which is another big lie. But they're doing everything they can to block the sun, but also in order to use scalar technologies and make weather, in order to control your minds and everything else that they're doing. They are capable of doing all of it and are doing. We have two suns now. I will repeat, we are a binary star sun system now. We have two suns. And the suns are highly magnetic. They're telling you that the magnetic field of Earth is losing. That's a big lie. Out of Gabon, Africa, there's a five-mile area that's producing nothing but high-density magnetism, knocking out satellites, causing fits to all of these things that are using electricity. This is what is happening because the planet is going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. We're progressing. It's like going from kindergarten to graduate school. We are progressing very fast. And toward this end, our protagonists, called Drakons, that's a collective name for them, don't want this to happen. None of the people that they control or who they serve or who are part of their DNA blood want you to know this, and so therefore they're hiding it. I was the one that told people a long time ago, take your cell phone or take a Polaroid camera, something that has its own emulsifier, and take a picture of the setting sun. Not the rising sun, because at one time it was a rising sun, it's the setting sun now. And you can see two distinct suns. You can even photograph them. But now, more and more, they're becoming one, and the more that they're giving out magnetism, the more that they're threatening the very satellites and electricity that's generated on Earth. So toward that end, they don't want you to know that, and so they put the spray. So you're seeing the sun through a haze. But as you look at it, you penetrate through that haze because that energy, especially if you have melanin, excites the pineal gland and lets you see more. You see into the electromagnetic spectrum of ultraviolet as well as the infrared.
Okay. And also with the second sun, I've often seen like at sunset, kind of like to the left of it, like almost like a color spectrum. But right before daylight savings time, it was like really orangish with like outlined in kind of yellow color. Was that the magnetic sun?
Well, it's hard to say because they have so many chemicals up there. Those trails are not chemical trails. They are chem-bio trails. They have biologicals that they spray. They have chemicals that they spray. And those chemicals, since some of them have a basic ionic substance, they refract light. So you get like a little rainbow colors to that because it's not the beautiful rainbow from hydrogen and oxygen or water. It's rainbow from chemicals. So it's kind of hard to say what you might see up there. It depends on what they're spraying for the day and where you're looking at it.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm just so grateful that you put your energy and your life force into doing this research and bringing it out to the people. I'm really grateful for that, and I really, really appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. There was a question in the chat room before I take the next caller about people on the sun. And I guess they want you to speak about...
Elaborate on people on the sun. They don't care what they ask me. Okay, yes, I believe that there are people on the sun, yes.
Okay.
Or let's put it like this. Potentially people can become sun dwellers.
Okay. All right, and the other question was about a woman's elixir. They said you have spoken about a woman's elixir before. Could you speak to that or expound on that?
A woman's elixir. Well, I mentioned Q-Hydric 528. It's not so much a woman's elixir. It's a new substance that is very recently brought out. Some of the Iroquois and Washita, well, not the Washita, the Iroquois, and I forget the other. Let me not give the wrong nation to the wrong group. One of the medicine men there shared this secret, and it is one that uses minerals, as I stated before. Minerals are your key to food. Because when there's no minerals in the food and no energy in the food cannot impart energy to you. So this one contains an elixir, if you want to call it, that would be very good for almost anybody, and especially for women that are having menstrual problems and cramps and who are having an excess flow, people who are taking all these drugs and things. Another thing, too, though, when you start these, you're going to have to cut back on some of those pharmaceutical drugs because they're throwing your hormones off and they're throwing your organs and glands off. But this, I found a lot of women have found already a lot of relief. It's almost like a miracle. So whether that will work for everybody, I don't know. But the people who have used it now, men and women, are benefiting from it.
All right. Kojo, who is in the chat room, it seems like you have a very good question or what have you. Call in and ask it. The number is 646-716-7675. All right, let's see here. Let's go ahead to the next call on the switchboard. Again, if you have a question or a comment, please press 1 so that I will know that you have a question or a comment because I'm going to take those calls first. Area code 917, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Welcome to Black Womaniverse. Do you have a question or a comment for Dr. Blair?
I sure do. Dr. Blair,
who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is India.
Okay. Hi, India.
How are you? Dr. Blair, could you talk more deeply about what's going on the planet now and a lot of the energies that are coming on the planet now?
Wow. Well, the planet, as I stated before, by my understanding, which is it may be, is going through a change from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. Most of our protagonists, people who talk about, they got these movies coming out now, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, which I came out with 28 days after Spielberg and Lucas made the Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Mine was a wonderful thing. What I see there in the movie was a horrible thing. They're coming out with 2012, showing the annihilation of Earth through every kind of medium you can think of, earthquakes, everything else again. Everything that they're bringing out is negative. Even Avatar now, that shows you how a soul can progress and jump species and begin to carry on its lineage and so on like that. But most of the things that are happening now on our Earth are not bad. They're made bad because we're getting rid of our ancient enemies, these Drakons. And therefore, they're doing everything to subject you to feel that they should still be here, and what's happening is going to be horrible. It will be horrible for them. It will not be horrible for a soul. And remember one thing, a soul cannot die. Consequently, since many of them are soulless, they can die. They're fearful of that, and they're doing everything to cause your attention to be swayed toward the more negative. You are what you eat, drink, and think. If enough people think on all catastrophic things and put energy into it, we almost are working with them to try to stop the planet from going forward. But the Creator, as I believe, has already decreed it. No matter what we do, we can make it a little bit rougher than it had to be, but the planet is going to go through changes. It's going to go to the fifth dimension, and as we go that's why people are seeing time flying by. The days are flying by because time is speeding up. Time is relative to the consciousness of those who observe it, and we're observing it. And if we're in tune and in line with it, we see things speeding up, but then ourselves are speeding up, our thoughts are speeding up, everything we do is speeding up. Those who won't, of course, they get out of sync, they get diseased, imbalanced, and they get sick.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. Now, everyone who is on the line, if you're calling in with a question, please press 1. If you are calling in to listen, but you can listen from your computer, please hang up because there are people who are calling, who are trying to call in that have questions that can't get in on the lines to ask their questions. So, again, the call-in number is 646-716-7675. All right, let me check this other call line. Area code, hold on, there's a question in the chat room. Let me get that one. In the woman lecture, you mentioned that some women did not menstruate in the older days. Where did their eggs go when they did not menstruate?
Well, menstruation is not here we go. Well, we're taught that the menses is the deterioration of the egg, which is unfertilized, and after 28 and a half days or so, you go through this cycle again. Menstruating women really are women who are really, how can I put this nicely? They're weak. They're women who never menstruate. They're women who menstruation comes about because grandma and mother and all say, if you don't do this, you're sick, and they even induce their horrible methods by sometimes that they induce women to start the menses. But if you don't start the menses, not only can you conceive outside, but you stay stronger. Because in doing so, you're losing, again, and especially now with all these drugs that you'd have to go back to a time to find out when women, and especially women who do a lot of exercising, women who get in oxygen, deep breathing, running, and things like this, their menses are very short. It shouldn't be over 2.5 days anyway. When you get a lot of meats, you get a lot of proteins and undigested, you don't exercise, you get a lot of smoke, you get a lot of drugs, yeah, you're going to have menses from now on in. Because, again, it is a weakness, not a strength. We should conserve, women should conserve, just as men conserve. Use the oxygen in the body, and the stronger you get, the less the menses. Well, athletic women, women who are running and jumping, they don't have long menses. And this is a phobia that came about due to men, and women bought into it, and they're still practicing. Grandmas and mothers, if the woman doesn't start a menses, they say she must be sick. Look how many young girls who are athletic don't have menses, but they're induced. And that's another whole story.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call. Area code 954, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Good evening, sister. This is Nnamdi. I'm calling from Miami. Hi, Dr. Blair.
Hi.
My question is, many of us follow African traditions in which we commune and speak to our ancestors. A question that I have and a lot of people that I know have is that how do we know that we're not being fooled to think that we're communing with our ancestors when we're actually talking to others, maybe Dracons or the like? How do we know for sure? And that's ancestors and possibly Orishas and all the like.
In many cases, you hit the eight ball behind the head or the eight ball going to the side pocket. In many cases, they're communing with Dracons. An understanding through metaphysics, and I use this because I understand the O'Shays, the Ashays that go about, I know about the 250 million that were drowned and probably even more than that, and so, but we haven't got the entire picture again. We are a collective of cells under one guidance called our brain. And the mind is the mind is to the spirit as the brain is to the body. What we think on, we become. Our cells have memories. And many of these cells, based on how they were horribly killed and stuff, have already reincarnated. We are the ancestors. There was a group of people that came in here called Indigos. They came in from about 62 to about 87. They were here to fight or flight. They were the ancestors who wanted back in. They were angry, and they wanted to fight. Then what happened? The Dracons controlled government, gave them something to fight in. Fight in Vietnam, fight in Korea, fight in the Persian Gulf, fight in everywhere to get rid of all it. Then they started rap. And the guys got up there fighting and cursing and fighting the air. They were so angry. But there was not. But they were not constructive fighting. It was not who they came here to fight. It's who the Dracons mischievously or horribly led them to fight. I think in many cases we are the ancestors already. We're worshiping ourselves. But if we choose to call on the ancestors and feel better about it, so be it.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Okay. There's another question here in relationship to the last question I asked you. They want to know, as far as menstruation, in reference to where does the egg go? Does the egg get recycled? Or when you say the blood, are you speaking about the egg? I guess they want to get clarification on the response you had for that question.
Well, an unfertilized egg, of course, then they say, well, it comes out the fallopian tube, you got two each month or something, and it must be fertilized. It would simply disintegrate, sending more energy into the higher consciousness and open up the doors of the womb in the head. Just as men, if they can save their seed sometime, could open up the doors past the reptile brain. We're all blocked by that reptile brain. And in many cases, by relieving that, we don't have enough energy to push that energy up the spine into what we would call a pons veroli and into the higher consciousness. That's what you call ascendancy. That's when you can get illumined. The men have I'm not going to give up that secret either. The men have another passage of rite by which they can do so. The women are using the wrong passage of rite because this is what they've been told. Yes, they have now choices whether they wish to reproduce in whatever fashion or whether they don't want to reproduce at all. But once you start, now you've started something.
All right.
You have to come to some of my lectures for that. I'm giving out a lot of information. I think I haven't held back, but some things people are going to have to pay for. They're going to have to come out to some of my lectures on
that.
Well,
the bottom line is you put a lot of time and work and energy, you know, into, you know, your research, and, you know, the family does need to support you. So, I mean, you know, we definitely appreciate you coming on to the radio shows and doing what you do, and the family does need to support you. So, again, the next lecture you said you have is in Chicago, right?
Yes, it's Chicago this Saturday is the next one at 2:30.
All right, so anybody who's in and around the Chicago area, you need to be there. He's giving out his website, which is themetacenter.com. He's also giving out his landline, which is
708-422-6685.
All right, so I am going to check these lines because I'm pretty sure there are more questions. Area code 719, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Cal, and I'm calling from Colorado. Dr. Blair, thank you so, so much for this show tonight. I have a question, and it's kind of personal. I don't mean to think it's all about me, but sometimes it seems like it is. It's like what you were talking about a while ago about when you were little and you saw clouds inside the house and you saw all these things. Well, I've had some similarities, although I haven't pieced all this together. One thing I wanted to ask, my daughter was born the day Martin Luther King died. Now, my last period was in May of 1967, and she was born April 4th. And it just, it goes on from there. My son was born on the 13th anniversary of Bobby Kennedy being shot. 187 is the code for murder in California. I don't know if it is here in Colorado, but I know it is in California. I lived in apartment 187. I moved in with a roommate. It wasn't my choice. I moved to Colorado, and unbeknownst to me, I was living with my daughter. The lot number for the house was 187. I had a vehicle. When I bought the car, it came with a license plate. It was 187 JFK. I had another license plate that was 547 KYS, which I think as an abbreviation for Kennedy's. And this just goes on and on and on. I've been told I'm crazy because I pick up on these things. My daughter's name is Cipriani. That is Mussolini's middle name. And I didn't know this until I started doing a lot of research. Do you have anything to tell me about these little coincidences? They don't seem like a coincidence to me anymore. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, you're looking in favor of numerology only to the point of sequential numbers. Numbers do mean things. But I think in your instance, you are already an adroit, understanding person of numbers at your birth, and now you're simply beginning to unveil that to yourself. Codes and numbers, whether they be Fibonacci, well, numbers can always be used to designate things like how can I best put this? We can use frequencies, and numbers have frequencies. So once you begin to identify with that, then you call in these frequencies and you begin to see these numbers because you're more or less prone to them. We are what we eat, drink, and think. And in the surf of sacred geometry, symbols would replace numbers because one number can equate when used in sequences, but a whole sequence of numbers becomes like what they would call a mandala or a crop circle or a circle. One picture worth 1,000 words. They help to waken the parts of the brain by that picture or that number to open up other sequences. And of course, the right brain is cosmic. It's a cosmic brain. We get limited by the reptile brain and by the left so-called logical brain without knowing how to click the amygdala and go into exactly what you're doing. You're just an awakened soul. Numbers are your way to get into the consciousness of it. That happens to be one of your gifts. Probably did it before as a previous lifetime.
Well, and I think so too, because I, like I said, my daughter's maiden name is Cipriani. Well, there's also a cardinal in Peru, Juan Luis Cipriani, and he promotes genocide of the indigenous people. And then I divorced him and I remarried, and in a very small town, a town of like 2,500 people.
Wait a minute, hold on. You said you divorced this cardinal? You were married to him?
Oh, the name Cipriani. He is a cardinal in Peru. This is okay.
I don't quite understand.
Okay. I said a while ago that Mussolini's middle name is Cipriani. He was named for...
That I understand.
Okay. There's also a cardinal in Peru. His name is Juan Luis Cipriani.
Were you married to him?
No, I was married to a Cipriani.
Okay, because you said you divorced. Okay, that's what threw me off. I know you're giving a lot of history here, but I had to make, you know,
exactly.
I understood what you're saying.
Okay. I divorced my first husband and married my second husband, and he's related to the Wesleys, which is the Methodist Church creator. Do you see where I'm going with this? It's like there's too many coincidences there, and they seem to be all related, and they help me do my research, because this one Cipriani, he's in the Opus Dei. Do you know about that, don't you?
I'm not sure I do at all, no.
It's in the Catholic religion, and it was in that movie with Tom Hanks. And the Opus Dei, he was running, he was up for being the Pope last time, and they said that he was going to be maybe the last Pope. So the, see, there's a lot of connections here, and I just wanted to get your take on it. And you did, you know, you did help me a while ago when you answered about the numerology, because I am very intuitive that way.
Yeah. And you're an old soul. You've been through this before.
Yeah, exactly. And I've met some younger people that have thought they were part of the indigo people. And I, when I was relating to these people, I would always tell them, I think I'm the oldest, indigo there is, because I was born in 1948. And so I'm 61 years old, but I have a really easy time when I sit down in conversation with these people.
Well, the ones coming through now are crystals, and they have nothing to do with that indigo. They're born with eyes wide open, spine erect. They're already communicating with animals. They can communicate. They're telepathic. By the time they're 12, they'll be able to move objects and everything else. So those are the new wave coming in, and hopefully they'll hurry up so they can fight some of these hybrids that these women are getting inducted and producing by these Greyhounds.
All right, caller, thank you for calling in with your questions. We have a couple more callers on the line, so I didn't want to be rude, but we have to move on if you didn't have another question for Dr.
No, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Dr. Blair, there was a question in the chat room in reference to animals and humans, and if the question was a while ago, so hopefully if the person who had the question could type it back in so I don't butcher their question. But I think the question was, what relationships do animals have to humans, and are the animals here to help the humans? I think that's what the question was.
Well, many animals have and do help humans. Some people can't stand animals. Many people who love animals. I love animals. I don't have one now because I've seen too many of them die, and I'm trying to get my heart broken. It's enough when you lose people. Now you got to lose animals who you become attached to. I find animals, in fact, animals are drawn to me. So, yes, I think it's all. There's some that say, hey, I don't want anything to do with animals. The hair on the cat makes me sneeze, and the dogs this and that. That's all according to your own vibrational rates. So I simply say there, I think, for animals, sometimes they replace humans because people are afraid and scarred by humans, so they go to animals. When animals are around, they can impart, especially cats, they can impart a veil into the other side, but they're very independent, just like Best the Cat Guard. There are animals also, like the Dogons, going to the dogs, who represent a dog species upon the planet, what they Canis Major. See, we don't understand many of the things we see. I was told by a guy one time, and I want your audience to remember this because it blew my mind. It was a very wise man. We were in a garden. He picked up a shovel full of dirt, and he looked in that. He said, look into that with a, he had a little what do you call it, lens, you know, magnifying glass. And he said, what do you see? And I saw all kind of strange and weird things there again. He said, think in terms of a telescope. He said, think in terms of a microscope. He said, there is a belief system that everything you see in that blade of, in that dirt has a planet to expand to its highest consciousness on. I still have my mind blown, because what you can see to a telescope, I've been at Yerkes and had it, well, let me be cool again. I've seen people who know that they can look in a telescope and it's just mind-blowing. Everywhere you look, there's a star. And if a star is a sun and there are planets around it, that's mind-blowing. But look into an electron microscope. The deeper you go, the more you see. There is no end to creation, whether it's macrocosm or microcosm. If everything you see has a planet to express itself on, then I say there's got to be a God somewhere, because there's too much for my mind to almost comprehend.
Wow.
So dogs and cats may also reach their species potential, too, on some planet.
Right, right. There is... Okay, there's a caller on the switchboard, area code 313. Could you let us know who you are? And I think you're calling from Detroit.
You got it correct. How you doing, Black Woman Diverse?
I am great. How are you?
Wonderful. How you doing, Dr. Blair?
Doing well.
Hey, this is Davenport.
Oh, Carlton.
Yeah, long time no talk to.
Yep.
I wanted to know, in the face of hearing bad news or so-called bad news as far as toxins and things in the environment that are designed to hold people in place, I'm becoming more transfixed on the power of transmutation. You've mentioned the power of intent, of which concentration would seem to be a major factor, a major force, as well as the changes that are going on with the double sun, things in the atmosphere and the cosmos, and in inner space as well as outer space. Can you speak at all to, and would it heighten our transmutation as far as actual coupling a blissful, energetic, ecstatic sexual union, whether the people involved know that it's tantric or not, but where their intent is along the lines of things in which we speak upon?
Do I believe that that is possible, or do I believe
it's the best
way of expressing consciousness, or what are you asking?
If it's one of the most powerful ways, would it heighten it as opposed to just solo? I take that back, because I believe that people should be in tune with themselves first before, you know, linking up with others.
Yes, to thine own self be true, then it cannot be false to other man, you know, so on and so forth. I believe that the union of male and female, I'm not into homosexuality, is beautiful if done with the right vibrations. Everybody does not have the same vibration. If you deal with someone with a lower vibration, you're drained. If you deal with someone with a higher vibration, they drain you. If you get into one by which you are both expressing yourself in a higher consciousness, to me, it is beautiful. I experienced marriage twice. I was only married once, and that was to a mate who every time I made it with her, I was with just in her presence, I got energy. I got all goosebumps. I was raised to higher consciousness. I stopped after I left high school just mating with somebody because they were there. That's the worst thing you can do, is throw away a seed without reciprocation. And I get no pleasure from that. I get as much pleasure from sometimes a mental conversation that leads to something else or leads to nothing else, because I can be satisfied on many levels. So I'm one who very, very, very choosy who I couple with. And I think everybody should be. Some people don't care, so you get high and couple, that's great. Then you might get a drone or a drudge that comes through your womb, too.
Right. I got that. Yeah, that's basically all I had. I mean, I've listened to you, you know, for quite some time. And could you repeat the name of that? Q Hydrate, you said 528?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Q Hydrate 528. And it says it's very new. But I find it, most people, and I know I find it good, and a lot of people are saying they find it good.
Okay.
Hey, you got to come out sometime, too, man. I'll get in the Detroit area there, too, but I'm thinking I'm not going to get there till almost March.
All right.
Wait a minute. Take that back. Next, on the 23rd, 22nd, I'll be in parts of Michigan there, in the upper parts there. We can talk about it.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you.
Okay.
All right. Black Woman Universe, you take care.
Davenport, I just thought I would let you know that you have a lot of the women going crazy in the chat room. We are loving your voice. So.
Well, let's see.
Let
Thunderbird,
you know.
Giftmates, Priestess, Giftmates, Brother Kojo. I saw the Reverend in there. Bird, hello. So peace to everyone.
So you in the chat room. Okay, you might want to read some of that.
I'll have to log in. I'm still, you know, I still have to push away from the computer.
I told them you probably were in the chat room.
Oh, boy. All right, peace to everybody.
All right, peace. All right, let's see. Dr. Blair, thoroughly enjoyed you coming on. Oh, my gosh, so much information. We have 15 minutes left. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. Again, Dr. Blair's website is www.theMeta.com. And if you could give your landline phone number out again, Dr. Blair?
708 708-422-6685. 708-422-6685.
Type the website and the phone number in here again. All right, okay. We have a caller from area code 678. Could you let us know who you are and if you have a question or comment for Dr. Blair?
Oh, I'm just listening.
All right, thank you for listening. Area code 323, could you let us know who you are and if you have a question for Dr. Blair?
I don't think they want to be on.
Area code 323. All right. Area code 301. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from? Okay. Area code 209.
My African patients over there must be just some people because they don't look like you. So.
Their color sucks. Area code 209, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
You need to just talk, not even answer.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to touch on a little bit of astrology and speak more about the earth, you know, coming earth changes and the things that are going on with, you know, this transition period in 2012. Could you touch on some astrology information and things of that nature?
I'm not a believer in astrology.
Okay.
So as most people feel that they're very, very gifted in understanding astrology, and I'd say if this is what they feel, then they should follow it. Having studied, I had, as I say, a pamphlet out, the 12 challenges to astrology. I simply state this in the bottom line. There are many people who will go and buy a newspaper each day to look at the astrological section, and usually, of course, it's 12, and that's about it. And then they try to find out what they're going to do for the day or how they'll be guided by the stars and all like this one. And I simply say, let's just say in the average city, big city here, you got at least 6 million people. And if all of them got the paper, that means that if they're going to, they can divide it into 12, they'll look at all of that and say, now I can get a pretty good idea what I should or should not do. That means simply astrology was here as a guide. It means you haven't learned. You cannot chart a free soul. That simply means that you are now quarantined or limited to a certain consciousness based on that. It means you're still part of the group soul. You're not a free soul. You're still part of a group soul. Animals hive together in group souls and stuff. Individuals cannot. You cannot chart a free soul. You get tendencies. And I simply say this. They use 12 constellations, and this is what they devise from, with all the moon surrounding it and all, because it's part of the same aspect. There are 72 other constellations out here, some of which have suns that make the ones that we're right close to dwarf. They have much more effect than the rest of them. But because it would take a computer science to realize it, they act like they ignore those. I simply say,
I'm sorry, let me interject quite briefly. I think the question was more so in long of ancient science and ancient women established in terms of astrology, not like the horoscope type thing, not the shallow end of astrology, I guess.
I'm not sure that I can even speak to that because I'm not sure exactly where that question, where the term is coming from.
The question was coming from the lines of, like, when you look at some of the temples and things, and as you some of the temples and things, they were lined up. Architectural temples were based off of astrological constellations, and then they also had something to do with things that were going on within the body, like you mentioned the chakras earlier. So I think that's more so along the lines of where that question was headed to.
Yeah. Well, you might as well say each chakra can become a universe if you would, and each universe can have a central sun, and this is what chakras are. We are wheels of life, but of course there are millions of chakras, but in our own time here, we have 7 within our body, 3 without, and we think we understand. The universal soul expresses itself through wheels of light, which are called chakras, the chakras of which express consciousness, and consciousness can come through the spirit or physical or soul body. So in many cases, when they understood this, they would build temples to these chakras. Each chakra represented a concept. But if we look at chakras as being whirlwinds or universes itself, now we're really getting into the major constellation, which would be the creator's consciousness, the creator's chakras.
Okay. All right. Now, in reference to, let's see.
Are we searching for?
I'm trying to make sure I covered everyone's
questions
there because there were a lot of it. Dr. Blair, it's 40 people in the chat room listening to you. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. We have the phone lines are tied up, and we have 40 people in the chat room listening to you. So I'm trying to keep up with everyone's questions. So I apologize if I get a little silent at times, but I'm trying to make sure everyone's question is answered. There's a question about ascension, if that is where Priestess, could you kind of clarify your question? I think they wanted you to expound on ascension, or is that what you were speaking about in reference to when you say going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension?
Yeah, I think our planet is in an ascension cycle. And, of course, we're on a planet. We're nothing but, as far as I'm concerned, a little mitochondria in a cell that is a part of the universal creator's consciousness. But as our planet, if it is, and I believe it is going from a third to the fifth, as I say, it's like going from kindergarten into a graduate school. And if we are to stay behaviorally good, we must also speed up, too. And this is what is called the ascension cycle. That's why many people now are asking questions and doing things that before would seem disturbingly bad, but people want to know. Those who don't want to know are called ones I call dumbed down, comatose, brainwashed, inoculated, vaccinated, and encrypted, any two of which makes you useless to an ascending planet and a spiritual society. So consequently, we fall into all kind of categories. And for those who are aware, they can see that there's a change going. Something mysterious is happening. I think the mystery is ascension. And if we can do so, we can ascend also. That's why, again, they're trying to get swine flu vaccines in and hepatitis C vaccines to a newborn baby. Anything to hold you back from progress because they can't and they don't want you to.
All right. And you mentioned chemtrails earlier and what was within the chemtrails, the barium, the aluminum, all these different metals that are in them, and these chemtrails are pretty much set up so that it can deflect the sunlight coming to the earth, is it not?
That's one of the many reasons. There are seven different reasons for chem biotrails, and one of which is that. The other is to block the sun. The other is to cause weather. They can cause weather now. Most of this weather is weather modification. They use HARP. They use ELADA. They use ISACAT. They had the particle accelerator in CERN, Brookhaven. They're always doing something to cause a big mess whenever they can. Weather now is controlled. This is why we have all these things happening. These are not natural storms and things that are happening. Anytime you get lightning with no thunder, that's not natural. That shows, again, scalar technology. You see these magenta flashes, everything now. And, of course, they've so particulated that they can control the weather. That's why they sprayed all these little atoms up there. That's why they have this density, so they can make droughts, so they can make floods, and make whatever they want to. This is what makes them feel that they're great. The point is, again, they're going to see how great they are because the planet is now beginning to destroy those things. This is why you're getting a lot of antimatter and stuff being formed. They're fighting their last battle. They're going to lose, but at the same time, it's like a rat in a corner. No telling where they'll leap to do something else in order to attack you and save themselves.
All right. Well, family, there you have it. Dr. Blair and, his point of view and shedding some light and some needed knowledge and wisdom on the many questions that we had for him tonight. You know, Dr. Blair, thank you so much. I mean, thank you so, so much for what you do, you know, your life's work. You know, I know people have said thank you before, but you just can't say it enough because you've contributed a lot to to the public, with all of the information and the research you've done and what you continue to do with the medicine or with your lectures and the services you offer and the products you offer. So, thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate you for having me. And I always like to leave with a thought, and this is what I call the truth statement. Many people know I say that there is no truth until you decide what truth is. But the whole thing is, in this dimension, that there is no truth until you do decide what truth is, because your truth may not be my truth. My truth may not be yours. yet that should not inhibit what our search for the truth is, nor diminish what is true. Because by daring to establish our own truths and holding to these truths until greater wisdom manifests or supplants our present understanding of what is truth, may we ascend from involution by cycles into evolution by spirals toward ultimate truth, if consummate truth exists. So therefore know that there is no truth until you decide what truth is. May everybody that heard me tonight, as I spoke my truth, decide on their own, and may we come together as one with those who have the same truths, as we have a universal truth being presented on this planet. And I want to thank you so very much again, Sister Tara, for having me on. And again, I hope it's not the last time, and I hope also
definitely
the future
not.
We can also meet.
Definitely. I definitely want to meet you. Definitely will try to see if I can hook something up to get you out to Virginia.
Well, sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right, family. It's been a lovely time here with Dr. Blair, and thank you all for coming. Again, so many of you in the chat room. The chat room is full. We've had up to 40 people tonight. Right now it's still 38. Thank you guys for coming, and make sure you mark the show as a favorite, and, you know, give me some feedback. You know, rate the shows. And make sure you go check the MediCenter out, www.themediCenter.com, and support Dr. Blair and his works. Peace and love, family.
Lock. told her fairly.